A man found shot and killed outside V's Garner townhome. The new information police are now sharing.
Which areas could see the strongest risks and when on tomorrow's WRAL Weather Alert Day.
Just before graduation, an NC Central basketball player dies. The emotional toll his death is having on the community. Right now, we are tracking the risk for severe weather tomorrow. That's why we've issued a WRAL Severe Weather Alert Day. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Some counties will be under a level 2 threat, so we need to talk about it. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center timing out when we could see some of these storms pop up, Kat.
Dan, I think it would be tomorrow between about 2 and 8 p.m. We're going to be watching this front dropping in from the north, and that's what could spark some of these initial showers and storms. I think it would be close to the 2 o'clock hour when we see a few showers popping up, and then they should quickly intensify, the threats damaging wind gusts and hail. But notice, we're not likely to see rain covering the radar. This isn't going to be a widespread severe weather threat, and that's because the moisture will be limited tomorrow. But any showers that do develop should quickly develop, and that's because of the other three ingredients that you need for severe weather all around in the atmosphere. Because of this, there is a level 2 threat east of I-95. This does include Wilson, parts of Johnston County, Goldsboro, down toward Fayetteville, and a level 1 threat including all of the Triangle and the Sand Hills there in green. We'll be closely monitoring the radar. A good idea to download the WRAL weather app, turn on your severe weather notifications in advance of these storms. I'll let you know what you can expect after the front moves through coming up.
All right, talk to you then. Thanks, Kat.
Now we're following breaking news. Still an active scene surrounding a Garner apartment where police say a man was killed in a shooting. WRAL's Eric Miller has been on Kentucky Drive since this afternoon trying to figure out what happened. He joins us now live, and Eric, investigators have been there for about 5 hours now.
Right, Deborah, and they've been doing everything they can to find every bit of evidence out here. Just in the last hour, we've seen members of the forensics teams walking around with metal detectors in their hands. They've also had canines on scene as well. You take a look at some of this video here. Police tell us this all started right around 2 o'clock this afternoon. That's when neighbors started calling 911 saying they'd heard gunshots. When first responders got here, they found a man. Police say it was a black man in his 30s. No ID has been released yet, but they found that man lying dead on the front lawn in front of an apartment here. However, police believe, based on their investigation, the shooting actually happened inside. Listen to what this captain had to say.
The victim did wind up outside. We don't know how he wound up outside, whether he came, he walked out or was pushed out or what happened, but we do think that activity originally occurred inside.
Now, no name has been released for the victim and no suspects have been named at this time. Still, Garner police say there is no ongoing threat to the community. Just to be safe, though, they are going to be increasing patrols here in this area. Deborah?
Eric Miller, live in Garner. Thank you, Eric.
A school bus crash in Halifax County. Good evening to you. I'm Mark Boyle in the WRAL Live Center. That school bus belongs to Halawasaponi Tribal School. In a statement just coming out sent to parents within the past couple of minutes, it reads, "This afternoon, one of our buses was involved in an accident. We want you to know there were no students on the bus when this incident occurred." That's certainly some good news to report here. No serious injuries, no students on board. As we get new details on the exact location for where the school bus crash happened or if there's any more information to provide to you, of course, we'll have it right here at the Live Center. Back to you.
Sounds good, Mark. Thank you. Now, new at 7 o'clock, a Fort Bragg soldier is accused of, well, something that, frankly, I find difficult to even repeat, accused of soliciting a special needs child for sexual acts. Police saying that Schuler Navas agreed to pay a family member for sexual activity with that minor and then traveled to Liberty on Saturday to engage in the illicit activity. He is charged with soliciting for prostitution of a minor, soliciting a minor for sex by computer, and attempted statutory rape of a minor, among several other charges. He is in the Randolph County Jail right now on a $1 million bond awaiting his first court appearance. Students at Apex Friendship High School have been given the all clear at this point after a bomb threat forced them to evacuate. At 10:30, the police department announced the investigation of this threat. WRAL Sky 5 was over the school today as students stood outside waiting for classes to resume. The school district gave that all clear just after noon.
Well, the second inmate who escaped from a Virginia jail the same day as Aldermarine Sotelo is back in custody. Bruce Callahan was found less than 3 miles from Piedmont Regional Jail at Lancer Park on a college campus. He was gone for more than 8 days. Officials say this morning Callahan approached a college student at Longwood University, and she alerted authorities to him by pulling a fire alarm. U.S. Marshals said he was injured and dehydrated, surviving off of river water. Callahan was checked out at a hospital and released.
Of how he planned to escape, what he tried to do, what he was actually able to do at the facility will obviously be important to prevent anyone else from escaping.
The U.S. Marshals will not comment as to where Callahan is currently. He faces a penalty of 5 years in prison if convicted of the escape charge he's now facing.
Tonight, we are working to learn what caused the sudden death of 22-year-old Devin Butts, a basketball player at North Carolina Central University. As WRAL's Destiny Patterson explains, people who knew him says he was smart with an infectious energy.
Devin Butts is described as smart, fun, and dedicated to basketball. He was set to get his bachelor's degree in behavioral and social sciences. And his death has sent shockwaves through the campus and the basketball community.
Just weeks before he was set to walk across the stage and accept his diploma, North Carolina Central student athlete Devin Butts died at 22.
I was devastated. It was very unexpected.
Damian Jones says he cuts many of the NCCU players' hair, including Butts. He said they bonded over their love for the game.
Basketball.
The Georgia native was known for his athletic abilities on the basketball court. In fact, Jones says Butts had dreams of taking his basketball career to the next level.
He's so young, so athletic, and I didn't expect this to happen.
That shock was echoed by many, including NCCU. In a statement, head coach Lavelle Moten said Butts would be remembered as a, quote, incredible teammate that had an infectious smile. The spokesperson declined to comment further.
Yeah, he was a very good kid.
We're still working to learn the cause of Butts' death. The university says that information about his services will be shared once they're available. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, Durham.
The university also encouraging students to call its 24-hour counseling center. You can find that number on WRAL.com.
Starting today, thousands of teenagers are now able to get their driver licenses sooner. The new law says teenagers only need a permit for 6 months instead of a year before getting a driver license for the rest of 2023. Lawmakers drafted the changes after pressure from parents and criticism of long DMV wait times. Governor Roy Cooper did not sign the bill, saying it would make the roads less safe. However, he also didn't veto it, so it just automatically becomes law now. Still ahead, a first look at damage from a tornado in North Carolina. What the National Weather Service is saying after the twister touched down in the area for the first time in more than 40 years. Plus,
a driver called Five on Your Side after he says he got no warning and was towed from a parking lot.
You can't be faulted if something isn't marked properly.
Why Durham police say they disagree.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A well-known dairy farmer from Alamance County is fighting for his life at a UNC hospital. The family of Randy Lewis says a bull attacked him on his farm over the weekend. His family has owned Rand Lou Milk Company in Snow Camp for generations. The family says Lewis has broken bones, punctured lungs, and cuts all over his body. Right now, he's in the ICU getting reconstructive surgery. The family set up a GoFundMe page to help with the medical expenses.
Oh boy, let's hope he's back on his feet soon. Hey, check your freezer. I know a lot of you shop at Trader Joe's. There have been 9 cases of hepatitis A connected now to frozen strawberries sold at Trader Joe's. Take a look at your screen. If you have the bag you see there of the organic tropical fruit blend, return them or just throw them out. All the cases of hepatitis A, we should say, connected to this recall are on the West Coast, but these organic tropical fruit blends were distributed nationwide. The affected bags have a best buy date from April 25th to June 7th, 2024. Be careful where you park in Durham. If you parked in the wrong spot, you could be towed without getting any kind of warning. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur started digging into one viewer's towing complaint and found out why you need to know who owns the spot you're parking in.
There's a state statute that requires private parking lots to put up signs like this one that warn anyone who parks here without permission that they could be towed. Now, the sign only applies to certain cities and counties, including the city of Durham. But the way the city and the police department there interpret it means that you actually don't need a sign or any warning, and you can still get towed.
Jonathan Hospro calls Fort Bragg home base, but he went out in Durham to celebrate his girlfriend's birthday in late January, and that's when his car got towed from this lot.
My vehicle had been reported as being abandoned in the lot.
He didn't understand why. He parked in a lot with dozens of other cars all going to the same club, and he never passed a sign saying he wasn't allowed to park there.
You can't be faulted if something isn't marked properly.
Turns out a nearby restaurant owned the lot, not the club. Hospro went to the police.
The Durham towing inspector told me that there was nothing he could do about it.
It's never an easy conversation telling someone, hey, I just don't have the power to intervene in this matter.
A state statute that applies in the city of Durham says that every entrance of a private lot has to have 24-inch by 24-inch signs warning you you could be towed. This lot didn't have the required signs at all three entrances when Hospro parked there. But Durham police told us that didn't matter.
And why doesn't it make a difference?
It's private property.
In follow-up questions over email, they explain their interpretation of the statute is that signage is required in order to charge someone with an infraction and fine them for parking in a private lot without permission. But Durham police say the statute, quote, does not create a prerequisite of signage in order for the property owner to remove a vehicle from his or her premises.
Really, it's a private business owner. They own the property. They take care of it. They maintain it. They don't want your car, they can have it removed, and then it's ultimately a civil issue between you, the business, and the towing company.
The statute also required the towing company to tell Hospro about his right to challenge the tow, but that didn't happen. And the towing inspector didn't provide that information either.
He said my best hope would be to contact my bank about it and contact the North Carolina Attorney General for Consumer Goods.
We called Victory Towing.
Hi there, this is Keely Arthur with WRAL News. I work for Five on Your Side.
Explained everything and asked if Hospro's money would be returned. Their attorney told us they didn't have any comment. But after we started asking questions, new signs appeared at all entrances to the lot.
As for Hospro, he is currently in the appeals process. If you think your car has been wrongly towed, take documentation. That means lots of pictures and note if there are any signs in or around those parking lot entrances. And you can always ask for a probable cause hearing with your local magistrate. Keely Arthur, Five on Your Side.
Ooh, nothing more frustrating than getting your car towed. This ordinance does not apply everywhere in North Carolina, we should mention. To see where it is in effect and what police say you should do to prevent being towed, look for this story on WRAL.com.
Well, if you are stranded by your airline's cancellation, you might be able to get some money in your pocket. The Biden administration is proposing new regulations that would require airlines pay passengers when the airline is to blame for a flight cancellation or perhaps a long delay. They would have you cover expenses and meals for hotels and ground transportation. The rules would also require airlines to compensate passengers for their time in the form of cash, travel vouchers, or frequent flyer miles.
Well, it's happened to us, and we've had to incur our own expenses, so I think that should be something they take responsibility for.
It might possibly make them look at their, I guess, their business side of things and make sure that things work well for the passengers, because we do kind of keep the airlines going.
The proposed rules would have to go through a lengthy approval process.
The wildfire that's burned in our state now for weeks is almost fully contained. Firefighters say they've managed to contain 75% now of the 32,000 acres that have burned. These are some of the pictures of that area last week. There are a whole lot of dead pine needles on the ground. They fall out because of the smoke, and sometimes they then reburn, creating more work for those firefighters. Firefighters still have to step up and use water pumps to contain the rest of that fire. They say that could take several more days. Look at the damage in a North Carolina family's yard. This is after a tornado touched down last night. This is video from Henderson County. The National Weather Service confirming a EF0 hit the area, the first time since 1977. The tornado knocked over some of the trees there and did some damage to the roof. Fortunately, no one was hurt.
Let's take you to Carolina Beach right now. Boy, what a beautiful sight this is. It hit 90 today along the coast. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Boy, we're well into May. It's starting to heat up, Kat.
It is. It's starting to feel more like summer outside. And tomorrow you are really going to feel it. It's going to be hot. 88 degrees the high, possibly 90 in Fayetteville. It's going to be humid, and that will come with a chance for some isolated storms. The issue here is that even though storms may not be widespread on the radar, they are likely to be strong storms, damaging wind gusts and hail possible. And because of that, tomorrow's a WREL weather alert day. Wednesday and Thursday look beautiful behind tomorrow's cold front. Check out these numbers. 76 degrees Wednesday, 80 on Thursday, dew points in the 50s, so low humidity, very comfortable air, and with plenty of sunshine, it's just going to be a beautiful middle part of the week. Temperatures sitting at 82 in Raleigh right now, but look to the northwest. 53 in Chicago, 75 in Minneapolis, 54 in Cleveland, 66 in New York City, and that's some of the more comfortable air that's going to be dropping in from the north as we watch this front drop in tomorrow. And that front will also help to trigger some of those isolated thunderstorms. Futurecast showing the front well to our north tomorrow morning. It's as we get into the afternoon, likely between about 2 and 8 o'clock, that we could see some of these scattered thunderstorms move through the area. And then behind the front, we're going to watch for the wind direction to change. A cooling wind expected for us on Wednesday as we start to push in some of that cooler air from up north. It's not going to be a chilly day by any means, but it's just going to be one of those beautiful afternoons. Not too hot, not too cold. The dual Doppler 5000 radar showing we are tracking one shower right now. It's in the southwestern corner here of Chatham County. If it holds together, it may track just south of Sanford along the Lee County and Moore County line. It's just showers at this point. We don't have any lightning, but we keep in about a 30% chance of a shower, perhaps an isolated rumble of thunder this evening. In Fayetteville, not seeing any of that right now, though. At the WREL Fayetteville newsroom, it's 82 degrees, 62 is the dew point. So it's been feeling a little bit more muggy outside. During some of our most humid summer days, our dew points are in the 70s, but we're creeping up into the 60s now. That's what gives it this warm feel and muggy feel outside. Your lake forecast, if you're able to get outside, enjoy the water tomorrow. It's going to be a beautiful day to do so. Maybe go fishing. 8 a.m., 68 degrees by noon, 83 degrees. And then during the afternoon, a warm day, 88 degrees. We could hit the 90-degree mark in Fayetteville. And we've not yet had 90 degrees so far this year in the Triangle. We'll be watching that closely. Our average first 90-degree day is at the end of this week. And it's not unusual to see some 90s in May. We do average two of them per May at RDU. Tomorrow is going to be one of the hotter days of our next seven. We see temperatures trend down a bit Wednesday and Thursday. Morning lows back in the lower 50s, but by Friday, we're heating back up 85 degrees. It looks like a nice Friday and Saturday. Right now, we have about a 40% chance for rain and storms for Mother's Day. There's still time for that to change, and it doesn't look like a washout, so I encourage you, keep checking back in for updates, and we'll help you plan around for your Mother's Day weekend. Regardless, it is going to be hot out there.
All right, good to know. Thank you, Kat.
A North Carolina native is celebrating a big honor. She's now won a Pulitzer Prize. The work musician Rhiannon Giddens is being recognized for.
WREL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WREL News, coverage you can count on.
You can weigh in on how Wake County spends nearly $2 billion for next year.
Today, the board held its first meeting solely dedicated to the $1.8 billion budget. It includes funds for housing affordability, public safety, and child welfare. It also includes a property tax increase. You can share your thoughts during any of the public hearings over the next few weeks. You can also fill out a form online on the county website. So you've heard of the plant-based movement with food. Mm-hmm. So there's plant-based burgers and barbecues, things like that.
Well, now a Raleigh-based company is developing plant-based seafood.
It was only a matter of time.
Yeah, right. Berlita Foods wants to create alternatives as fish populations dwindle worldwide. They are starting with shellfish. They have oyster, ceviche, and clam chowder. Right now, hundreds of chefs and restaurants are on the wait list to try or buy the products. Berlita hopes to be in at least 10 restaurants by the end of this year.
Right now, I'm working on plant-based plants.
I know, it's new. A salad.
I'm still working
right?
on it.
Yeah.
There is a new big cat in town at the Animal Park. Conservators Center.
Violet is certainly liking her new surroundings. She's a new leopard at the park in Burlington. The 11-year-old black leopard arrived at the park in early April after retiring from a different facility. Oh, she's beautiful. She's part of a threatened species that has adapted a number of unique characteristics, including this striking black coat.
Beautiful from a distance.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like you want to pet her, but not a good idea. Well, a musician from Greensboro is a Pulitzer Prize winner.
Rhiannon Giddens received this prestigious award in music today. She won, along with her collaborator, Michael Abels, for their opera, Omar. This story is based on the diaries of a Muslim scholar who was enslaved in Africa and then brought to Charleston. One of the few written accounts that actually survived from that era. Giddens also won the MacArthur Genius Grant a few years back.
Wow.
Certainly worth a little Google search, I think, after the newscast.
She is so accomplished.
To listen to some of her work. Uh-huh. So congrats. Thanks so much for joining us here on WRL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRL. Have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.